Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program. The date today is the 21st of Rabi'ul Awwal 1446, and alhamdulillah, we're blessed with a bonus. We have Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Damad Barakatuhu. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Murana? All okay?
Ji, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab doing?
Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy.
Ji, Mufti Sahab went for the Jor.
Ji, alhamdulillah. Allah's father, man. It was really so nice to be there.
Ji.
Meeting brothers from all backgrounds, all brothers from throughout the country, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
From far and wide. But what was amazing about this Jor was there was a lot of sacrifice behind it.
Mm.
Alhamdulillah. As we were traveling on the Friday, as my Imam Sahib had a program in the Shab Guzari.
Mm.
So we said, let's go early. So we took off and we, on the road, and en route, the snow started.
Gee.
So it was quite amazing to be traveling and there's snow. So we were quite worried. We had to go quite slowly. And the car started gliding then on the snow.
Mm.
Hey, Allah Ta'ala helped us out of that. Then it halted for a while. And then the next day, Newcastle also started snowing. So we had quite a few people coming from Newcastle, but they all were delayed. Even we had finally a class coming with the bus. But the roads were blocked. And obviously, the owners of the buses were quite worried. They said, no, we can't let the buses go like this. And that whole trip was cancelled. But amazing is the Saatis.
Mm.
They came from far and wide. One road was blocked. They used another road. That road was blocked. They used another road. A journey that normally might take 5-6 hours ended up taking for them 12, 13, 15, 16 hours. There were Saatis who were stuck in the ice for maybe the whole night. Next day, maybe 12, 1, they could only depart. But what was amazing was the resilience of the brothers, alhamdulillah. No matter what, they carried on. They took another route. They ended up somewhere in Pichitif. It was so late. They spent the night there. And they carried on the next day. Allah accepts, you know, they value the righteous and the pious and they endeavored and they strove and they came. Alhamdulillah. But Allah Ta'ala sees that sacrifice.
Mm.
And through them traveling, this travel is only for Allah. Through them traveling via the different routes, via the different towns, Allah puts khair in everything.
Mm.
Because everything is in Allah's hands alone. And inshallah, through they traveling through those towns, Allah will make that travel, that movement for Allah there, means of hidayat, inshallah. Mm. Alhamdulillah. Whoever is trying, alhamdulillah, may Allah accept their efforts, their endeavors. Allah is so kind, Allah is so compassionate, Allah is so merciful. But this is something ajeeb for us all to realize and recognize. See, Allah's hand in everything. Allah is in control. Allah is, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. The majma that made it there at that Jor, a majma of great sacrifice, alhamdulillah. And the program was so amazing. Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Devla Sahab, then Hazrat Mawlana Diyaul Haq Sahab from Raiwind. One of my brothers was telling me, Imam Aziz from Bambi, he was saying that Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib said that if you want to understand Dawat from the Quran al-Kareem, listen to Mawlana Diyaul Haq Sahib. And his programs were so nice, mashallah, with a lot of awe. A reminder of Mufti Zainul Abideen, rahmatullah alayhi. My grandfather was quite close to Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen, rahmatullah alayhi. Then I was at the Jor, one of our senior asatira, who was also teaching for very long in Darul Uloom. You always play Hafiz Kala Sahib's nazam. Yeah, I must send to you, Mohammed. Just the other day, Hafiz Sahib read a nazam in Darul Uloom. First time I heard it. And I don't care you'll play that one. Maybe you don't have it. I'm going to forward you the recording. Maybe you can also play that one.
Hafiz
Sahib Sati is Mawlana Samad Manga Sahib. Very senior ustad as well. He's also teaching in Darul Uloom for, you know, over 40 years, but a very, very humble human being. Amazing. Imagine teaching Quran Sharif for so long. So he sent me a message. Please convey my salams to Mawlana Diyaul Haq Sahib. So I said, such a senior ustad is making a request from such a small person like me. Let me find Mawlana Diyaul Haq Sahib and convey the salams. When I found Hazrat Mawlana there, he said, oh, Mawlana Abdul Samad, I'm looking for him. He's supposed to be here by me. So I immediately phoned Mawlana Abdul Samad Sahib. I said, Mawlana Manga Sahib, you know, yeah, so-and-so wants to speak to you. And Mawlana Sahib was so happy. Mawlana Diyaul Haq Sahib was so happy. And then Mawlana Sahib was asking, oh, you forgot about me. He says, you know, You, I can never forget. Maybe unless I'm gone pagal or mad, then in that case, you can excuse me. But otherwise, I'll never forget you. And they had such an amazing discussion. And then after that, one of the Al-Haqsa was asking me, where is he? So I'm telling him, maybe 3-4 hours away. And he's wondering, he wants to go there. But he told me something so ajeeb. He said, you can take me there. I thought, what an opportunity. I'll take him. We'll visit and we'll come back.
Mm.
But then he's telling me, that, you know what? I'm under Mashura. I can't leave the Jawah. This was on Monday.
Mm.
So I asked him, okay, when can I bring my Abdul Samad Sahab to come and see you? So he says, I'll be in Joburg and then we're going to Malawi. So I said, okay, when you get back from Malawi, we'll come and visit you in Joburg. He said, my flight is from Malawi straight to Thailand. So I'm asking him, okay, I said, how do we get you to have a program by us? Because, you know, we were inspired by you, the way you explain Quran, Hadith, so beautiful. He says, with me, it's very difficult because everything goes via the Mashura. And I went. So it's ajeeb, these people, they're muqeems there, and they gave their life, you know. There was this is the, like the muqeems in Raiwind, and in the Marrakesh, and in Nizamuddin those years, Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali made the tashkil that who will give life, not asking anything from the markaz or asking for remuneration or asking for pay. And among those, the first to stand up was Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And then after that was Bayan Mushtaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Allah's Fadl, we met them when we went there in 2006 with Allah's Fadl, Allah's Karam. So Maulana Diyahul Haq Sahib is also one of those. Whose life is there. There was another great Buzruk, Maulana Jamshed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He also, his whole life was there in Raiwind, but he used to go home for 3 days. But that was the ajeeb level of sacrifice. Imagine, today, respected listeners, to spend a few days in the path of Allah, we think so many times, and we can't bear it, and we, you know, there's so many hindrances that we allow to happen before us. But when it comes to a worldly taqaza, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a function, whether it's an auction, whether it's some business trip, then we very, very happily indulge and involve. But don't we realize that what will help us in our qabr, in our akhirah, the time we give for Allah? These are people who, 3 days in the year they go home, you and I, few days to go in Allah's way for our own akhirah. Jamaat work is for ourselves first. Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib in most of his talks, ya Allah, was highlighting the importance of iman and the importance of ilm and dhikr. Ilm and dhikr. He said, the patri of the train, the track of the train is ilm and dhikr. Without ilm, our iman is incorrect. Our deen is incorrect. Our amal is incorrect. He says the most important after iman is ilm, knowledge of Allah. Knowledge. And then he said, what ilm? Ilm of the huquq of Allah. Ilm of huquq. What huquq? Allah's huquq.
Allah.
First. Allah ta'awwal here. Allah ta'ala is first. From the qualities of Allah. Allah ta'ala is first. There's nothing before Allah. There's nothing after Allah. Allah is perfect. Allah is so great. Allah is so merciful. So we have to know and have proper ilm of what is the huquq of Allah. Allah's huquq is first. And that is most important. And he highlighted that, the huquq of Allah, not to fall short. And then, subhanallah, as he said, the tracks are essential for the train. Ilm and dhikr are essential. Otherwise, the train is derailed. And then he said, so important. If we don't have ilm and dhikr, he says, you can have, even for biryani, if you have just rice, it's not there. The ingredient is incomplete. You can't just have rice. It's not biryani. He says, coming out is very important, but ilm and dhikr has to be coupled. As we're coming out, are we learning more? And are we, so that really, you know, this old worker's jawr is actually an ijtima', but it's full of Islam and reformation. Sometimes we say, no, in Jamaat, there's no reformation. Actually, it is also reformation, because in the whole jawr, there's corrections, there's guidelines, like our elders were teaching. What was the quality of Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. Sahaba highlighted quality in the Quran al-Kareem. Ruk'an sujjada. Lots and lots of ruku', long ruku', long sujood. And then he explained long qiyam for Allah, standing in tahajjud before Allah, crying before Allah, pleading to Allah, begging Allah for their salvation, for humanity's salvation. He gave examples. The hadith, Hazrat quoted the Fadail Amal. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, outside his house, one is Salah by the Kaaba, yes, but outside his house, he put a musalla, and he used to read Quran, and he used to perform Salah. And he used to cry. Even the mushrikat from the surrounding areas used to come there to listen to the tilawat of Hazrat Abu Bakr. And the children of the mushrikeen used to take effect. And they used to take effect, and the husbands got worried, and they came to Hazrat Abu Bakr to stop him. That worship Allah inside your house. Don't do it outside your house. Hazrat Abu Bakr was not prepared. He said, I will make my ibadat here. And obviously, Sahaba, but the point Hazrat was putting forth, was look at the ibadat of Sahaba. He gave examples of Hazrat Umar. He gave examples of Hazrat Uthman, whole night, tahajjud. Sometimes in one rak'ah, he would perform the entire khatam of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Then Hazrat Ali, radiallahu anhu, in Hayat al-Sahaba, they were speaking a lot about studying and reading Hayat al-Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So, talking about huquq, with ilm and dhikr, what huquq? Huquq of Allah, Allah's rights. That comes first. Not to fall short in the rights of Allah. And then also to make istighfar, because we have to try our best to fulfill the haqq of Allah, and we can never fulfill the haqq of our merciful, kind, loving Allah. Allah is so great. Then very, very important, if there's no ilm, then there's jahalat. And if there's no dhikr, then there's ghaflat. So ilm together with dhikr. Ilm with the consciousness of Allah, remembering Allah, making Allah happy, being conscious of Allah. Through ilm and dhikr, ghafla and jahala will be distanced. So this goes together, ilm and dhikr. This is one of the maqasid of da'wat, of going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And then very, very importantly, after the huquq of Allah, huququl ibad, and this was highlighted and impressed in every program. Never fall short in the huquq of Allah's creation. Never do anybody down. Never harm any of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Never usurp somebody's right. Never take debts on people and not pay them back. So he says, what a world it would be if everyone understands the next person's huquq. The huquq of others, the rights of others. This world will be a peaceful place. Every problem will be resolved because each one is worried about fulfilling the haqq of the next. Because on Judgment Day, we are answerable when we fall short when it comes to the rights of others. We will have to pay them with our deeds. And if we can't pay them and our deeds are not enough, then their sins will be taken and burdened on us. That would make a person a pauper, a muflis on Judgment Day. So this huquq of Allah and the huquq of the ibadah of Allah was so highly highlighted, subhanAllah, under the chapter of ilm. Hazrat said ilm, and he explained ilm, and he defined ilm. And then he said, what ilm? Ilm of huquq. Among all the other huquq, huququllah and huququl ibad. So that was something very, very interesting when he was highlighting huquq. And then also among the points that they brought about was the importance of the virtues of actions. How important it is to learn the virtues. If we know what we'll get for something, then we inspire to do it. For example, there was this Sahabi, his name was Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. He was a very generous Sahabi radiallahu anhu. But when he got old, he turned visually impaired. And actually, we even saw some people there in the Ijtima, visually impaired. No matter what, they still come to the Ijtima, Allah reward them. We stopped at Madrasa Lil Makfufi, Madrasa Tun Nur, on our way. On Friday, we stopped for Asr Salah there. And we waited a little while, and we made Maghrib Salah. It was such an amazing experience to make Salah next to these youth from countries of the world, learning Allah's deen, despite this ailment. What about you and I? What excuse do we have, respected Ummah? So anyway, the Sahabi turned blind. And even though he was old, from the front door till his room, he had a rope. So whenever needy people used to come, he used to take out some stock from some basket, few things, cupboard. He used to keep some stuff there he wanted to give. Sometimes it was vegetables, sometimes it was this or that, or whatever he wanted to give. He'll take it, he'll hold his rope, and he gets to the front door. Some of his relatives, his children, his family said, "We'll do it for you." He said, "I heard Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Munawalatul miskin taqi masari asu.' When you give the miskin with your own hand, that will save us from bad deaths." So to save us from bad death, to give the poor person with our own hand. What was the point Hazrat was making here was, when we know the virtue, we are inspired to do it. He gave another example. He said there was two Sahaba who were masters in digging graves. They were professional at it. Now, imagine Sahaba did different faculties. Here are digging graves. And the two Sahaba were Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and Abu Talha al-Ansari. Abu Ubaidah and Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. So these two Sahaba would dig the graves. And what was the reason? What prompted them to dig graves? What prompted them to dig graves was the fact that the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you dig for your brother a grave to be buried in, it's as though you gave him, you get the sawab of giving someone a house to stay in. So his point was, if we know what we're going to get from Allah for certain actions, for takbira ula, for salatul tahajjud, for using the miswak. Imagine a person performs salah. He got the fulfillment of that duty, and he got thawab for salah. But our salah is multiplied. Every rak'ah is multiplied to 70 rak'ah with miswak. So two rak'ah to 140 rak'ah, that multiplication. Imagine if we know the virtue. Why would we then leave it? We know what is required of us. We know what we're going to get out of it. Basically, insan, we want to know what we get. So they were highlighting this, learning the virtues of actions. So here, these two sahaba would dig graves, and they never used to charge. Even though sahaba did business, and you're doing a certain business, you can charge. Or sometimes you charge, but also you make it easy for people. Allah gave a certain person a faculty, medicine, some other science, some other technology, engineering. And now when you're doing for the masjid, alhamdulillah, you give a much better price. Or you just do it for Allah's sake, because that what you did for Allah is going with you. Maybe you can charge others. But when you're doing it for Allah, best is do it. And don't take anything, because then you're investing for your own akhirah. A doctor, a specialist, he helps. And Allah bless our doctors, mashallah. There's so many wonderful out there people. We have the opportunity when there's someone who really is in need and is facing difficulty and can't manage, and now they can't go via the government system and there's other complications, and we help them. And we use that as a means of giving them dawah, respected ummah and respected doctors. When we help people, make the intention also, Allah, give them hidayat. Yes, showing them akhlaq is one thing, but sow the seed also. Tell them, look into Islam. It's really beautiful. It will solve our issues. It will remove our depression. Read the Quran. It's so beautiful. So give a message also. Alhamdulillah. As we were mentioning, knowing the virtue inspires us to do the action. So what happened here was, these two sahaba were dig graves for that. How to get the thawab? Alhamdulillah. And such a beautiful thing, respected ummah. Sometimes we bury our deceased, and we stand one side, and the person is being buried, and other people are covering the grave, and we're standing one side. And sometimes we're yapping and chatting about other things. But what's so astonishing, that's not the time to be yapping about anything else. That's the time to be deliberating. That, you know, I could be next. Maybe the next grave next to this person is me. That should be our muraqabah and our deliberation and pondering at those moments. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this transitory dunya, Hazrat Abu Bakr sent for both these two sahaba who were professionals in digging. But Hazrat Abu Talha used to dig the lahad. And Hazrat Abu Ubaidah used to dig the shiq. These are two methods of digging of the grave. Now the shiq is where you dig and then you go into the wall of the grave and make it like a closet. So the deceased or the marhum goes into that closet. And the shirk is you dig right to the bottom and then a little bit into the corner. And the deceased is put into that. And then the planks are placed on top of them. So Hazrat Abu Bakr felt that, okay, what Allah decides for his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sent two Sahaba to call these two Sahaba. And he intended that whoever Allah wills will come. Leave it to Allah. Allah knows what Allah wants to happen. Everything is in the hands of Allah. Respected Ummah, this is the lesson we have to remind ourselves, and we have to talk about it, we have to think about it, that it is in the hands of Allah. Makhluk can try and aspire and intend, but still what Allah wants, what Allah alone wants will happen. Allah se hota hai, makhluk se kuch nahi hota. As Allah wants, it will happen, not as makhluk wants. Allah chant, what Allah wants, wo-ho-ho-wa. That is what happened. And what Allah wants, ho-ra-hai, is happening. What Allah wants, ho-ga, will happen. And then what happened was, Allah willed it, that Hazrat Abu Talha came. Zayd bin Sahl was his name. He came first, and he started digging the Mubarak grave of the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the point of Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib here was, when we know the virtue, then we aspire to do something for Allah. Like that Sahabi wanting to give the needy with his own hand. Like a person wanting to be in the first soft. You know, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud was rushing. He said, I want the salah from the beginning when takbira ula takes place. Alhamdulillah. And then lastly, we would request everyone not to criticize. Try and make an effort. Alhamdulillah, our duty is to make an effort and see the good in others. Let everybody try. We also try. Alhamdulillah, Allah is so kind. Allah is so merciful. There's so many beautiful branches of deen. Dhikr and tazkiyah is something we need. We all need to reform. We need to learn how to protect our gaze. We need to learn deen. That's why we need to be connected to the ulama. There's ilm of fada'il and there's ilm of masail. Fada'il, we read the books of ta'aleem, fada'il al-amal. Then there's something beautiful we generally neglect, fada'il al-sadaqat. It's an amazing book of reformation. And subhanAllah, self-reformation and tazkiyah and humility and sacrificing for Allah. And this book connects us to the akhirah. Quite amazing. Let's read that book in our homes. Fada'il al-sadaqat of Majid Marana Zakariya rahmatullahi. Then we have Hayatul Sahaba. So effective, so beneficial. The kitab offered by Hazrat, compiled and put together by Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf and Dehlawi, rahmatullah alayhi. So beautiful, alhamdulillah. Then, alhamdulillah, we have to try, encourage others to try. Who's perfect? Alhamdulillah. See the good in others. Let everybody try. Let's aspire. See the quality of the honeybee. Go to all the different flowers, draw the nectar. Alhamdulillah. See good and benefit. You know, so alhamdulillah, Allah give us all tawfiq. We have to try, inspire others to try, encourage others to try. Alhamdulillah. So there's ta'aleem also, there's tazkiyah also, there's tabligh also. Tabligh is such an important effort to remind others, bring Muslims to the masjid, to invite Muslims to Islam, to deen, to iman. We have Islam, but how to build our iman, how to get it to a level where we draw the help of Allah, how to build it to a level where each one does not look down upon the other, build it to a level where we respect others, we make khidmat of others for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's sake. And then also there's another work which is very, very highly neglected. And that work, subhanAllah, sadly, we're not interested in doing. Allah knows what we are waiting for. Allah knows, you know, what are we scared of, is to tell the non-Muslim how beautiful Islam is. Give him an opportunity also. Share the beauty of deen with him. Our people travel everywhere. We're on flights. We're at the airports. We're in our offices. We'll do everything with everyone in as far as interaction. But we won't tell them, brother, we did a lovely deal. It was nice dealing with you. I bought the property from you or you bought it from me. The payment was well. Everything was prompt. And we ended there. But what about telling him, have you heard about Islam? Have you heard the Adhan? Do you know, Islam is not an Indian religion. It means finding peace when we submit to the one Almighty Allah, Almighty God. The Arabic word for Almighty God is Allah, and how pure this word is. And tell him, see, our forefathers weren't Muslim, but Almighty Allah has saved us and blessed us with this Islam. Our forefathers embraced it, and the Quran is so beautiful. It's a book that has not been changed. See how simple is what I'm... Just the other day, I phoned a friend of mine. I'm asking him, how's everything? He says, no, he's doing some lovely classes, teaching, this, that. This is a friend of mine. So I'm telling him, you invite non-Muslims to Islam. He says, you know, I'm waiting to do it properly. Now he wants to learn how to give long, long lectures to non-Muslims. Look how a human being's mind thinks. I'm just showing you that. Then I'll do it. Actually, waiting for all of that, that's not the purpose. In our little way, start with somebody, the neighbor of the masjid, your neighbor of your home, your next door neighbor. Send one plate of samosa. After that, send one booklet inviting them to Islam. It starts with that little. Introduce Allah to them, Allah's oneness. Let's see, the same creator made you, the same creator made me. He has no partner whatsoever. This is the mizaj of Dawat. When we study the Dawat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is closest. Every person, what I mean, every, I don't know how to emphasize it more. I don't have the vocab or the language to emphasize it more. Every single person was given da'wat by our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram. Radiallahu anhum. Hazrat Umar arrives in Palestine. Water was served to him. He appreciated it. He said to Asbak, take me to this person who sent this water. He went to tell her, she was an old lady in a monastery. He went to appreciate her, to tell her, shukriya ma. And then he gave her da'wat. He told her, who is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? She said, no, I'm too old. I can't change now. And then Umar says, I gave you the message. I can't force you. But he went away tearing that Allah, amilatun nasibah, tasla naran hamiya. An old person who endeavors and strives in falsehood. But they're striving and they'll end up in hell. Ya Allah, what do we do? So this is the pain we should have for one person. The pain, the cry, the worry. So start at least with those who we interact with on a daily basis. All these beautiful works are happening, but this work of da'wah to non-Muslims, Allah forgive us, as ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we've not even realized it's our duty. Allah forgive us. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana Sahab, for the opportunity.
Jazakumullah khairan for sharing with us the... We never got to attend, but alhamdulillah, we've got at least a little bit of a taste of it. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Make dua for us.